How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow!
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the Arlington Chamber of Commerce. This is your host, Herb Cohn, with my co-host, Les Small and Vistage, Lucia Headkey, Cressa, Mike Rosnow, Arlington Chamber of Commerce, Joe Kovacs, Councilor Buchanan and Mitchell, Herb Thomas, Whiteford Taylor and Preston, and Les, will you please give us a rundown on who we're having the opportunity of speaking with today?
Sure. We have Marty Fletcher, Managing Partner, Whiteford Taylor and Preston. We have Michael Sanders, President and CEO, Interactive Government Holdings. Kathy Seibert, President and CEO, A-Span. And Tom Romeo, President and General Manager, Maximus Federal.
Excellent. Let's get to our first guest, Marty Fletcher, who is the Managing Partner of an organization known as Whiteford Taylor and Preston. Marty, what is Whiteford Taylor and Preston? What do you guys do?
We're a mid-sized regional law firm representing middle-market businesses with offices from Pennsylvania to Virginia, from Delaware to Michigan and Kentucky.
Wow. Where are you from originally?
Born in western Nebraska, a little town called North Platte.
Yeah.
Grew up in Indiana.
You grew up in Indiana. And when you grew up in Indiana, were there a lot of other kids around?
We lived in a pretty rural area, so there were not many other kids around.
Mm-hmm. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
One younger sister.
One younger sister, and there weren't a lot of other kids around. And what do you think the effect of that all was on you?
Well, I think, unlike a lot of kids that had, lots of, friends in their neighborhood and things like that, most of the folks that I interacted with, outside of school were, adults.
Huh. How young were you when you started making money?
I always did little side businesses from a very young age, shoveling driveways, collecting newspapers to recycle. Mm-hmm. I chopped firewood and sold it, rototilled gardens, all kinds of stuff.
How do you think these young entrepreneurial experiences when you were 11 years old and 10 and 9 and 8 and 7 and 17, how do you think those experiences actually help your clients nowadays?
Well, I think I've always had a fascination with business and the different ways that people make a living, and I've always found it was something I could figure out how to do, even from an early age, and I think that fascination carries over to my clients' businesses and trying to really understand what they're trying to accomplish and how it works in their specific industry.
So you have a genuine interest in business, and you have a genuine interest in understanding your clients' businesses. Tell us, where this sense of people, where did that come from? What did Mom and Dad do for a living?
My dad was an attorney at a small firm in northern Indiana, and my mom was a homemaker.
Mm-hmm. So who had the sense of people? Was that Mom or Dad, or both?
I'm not sure either.
Where'd you get this deep sense of understanding the human condition from? Because we were talking earlier, and it was pretty impressive.
Well, I think, neither of my parents were, social butterflies. They were articulate and I think bright. But I kind of grew up as an observer of others and particularly adults, because that's who I was around a lot. And
well, how's that help you nowadays? As the it says here that you're the managing partner of Whiteford, Taylor, and Preston, this law firm, this prestigious law firm. How does being an observer help you build this firm, and how's that help your clients?
Well, we're 150 lawyers, and my partners, my attorneys, are very bright, very self-motivated, very talented, and you know, it takes someone who's really listening to understand the nuances of what they're trying to do and what the challenges are they face, and then bring to bear some business experience to help them accomplish those things.
So you're not the kind of guy that's going to stand up front and say it's me, me, me. You're really listening and trying to support the other lawyers in the firm, who then support the clients.
Yep, that's my job.
How about that? Who's got the next question here?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, what does being raised on a farm have to do with, or what's the similarities between that and running a firm, a law firm?
Well, I think a law firm, like any business, has areas that are doing well one year, areas that are challenged one year, areas that need a lot of attention and investment, areas that are kind of growing on their own, and I think that's a lot like a farm. You're always kind of focusing on what needs the attention today, and you know, where you're going to invest your resources to make the overall enterprise successful.
When did you realize you had that ability as a kid?
I'm not sure I realized it as a kid. I just was always doing things.
Always doing. You're fairly industrious.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Herbert, what do you got? What are you thinking?
Well, Marty, following up this idea of this cyclic nature of the world of farming that you grew up in, looking at the business changes that you see around the landscape, if you will, of the firm, and particularly with the recession, how did that perspective help you, work for you, as you were managing your way through that?
Well, I think personality-wise, I'm a pretty calm person. And when you're going through the crisis back in 08, I think the ability to kind of sort out the noise and keep focusing on, mm-hmm. What is really going to make a difference, what must be done.
Mm-hmm.
I think in my particular role, I'm always asking, what's the next incremental step on whatever issue it is? And
right.
I think, there are visionary CEOs that I think of, like a Steve Jobs, who come up with a great concept, and then there are kind of working in the vineyard CEOs, and I'm kind of the latter one, where I just keep looking at the operation over and over, and how do we make it more efficient? How do we deliver more value to the clients?
Seems to me, though, if I was a client of the firm, that the benefit of having you on my team is you're always looking out front for me. You're not just doing the legal stuff. We're having business conversations. Isn't that fair to say?
That is. In fact, one of the things we try to instill in our lawyers is to always be asking, what value can we bring to our clients beyond our legal services?
Yep, I get it. Sounds to me like you're leading by example. Joe, what questions you got? What's going through your mind?
So, Marty, you had mentioned a couple of jobs you had when you were a kid, such as the shoveling the driveways and recycling the newspapers. I can interpret that two different ways. One is that's definitely the entrepreneurial spirit that was just already within you. But then were you also thinking about the effect of helping others, or a consciousness about other people and the earth? I mean, was there anything there that gave you a sense of worth?
I've always liked fixing problems. And so if you think about it, when a client comes to you, they're coming to you to solve some issue. And I've always enjoyed that.
Always enjoyed what?
Just solving problems. Mm-hmm. Just how do you make something better? Mm-hmm. What is the problem, which is often the challenge.
You're like putting your finger on the issue, huh?
Yes.
Gotcha. Lucia, what are you thinking?
Going back to 8 to 14, you mentioned a lack of kids in the neighborhood, and your peers or friends were with adults. How is that today?
Well, first of all, most of my peers are now adults too.
Uh-huh.
So that helps. I think, I have, I would say, many acquaintances, but few friends. But the friends I have are extremely valuable to me.
What do you mean they're extremely valuable to you? What are you talking about?
I just cherish those relationships.
Wow, so relationships aren't transactional to you. You really dig in deep with your friends, don't you?
I try to with, like I say, it's a handful, but, they
Are any of your clients good friends?
Absolutely.
So one of the benefits of having you on my side is that you really get to know me. I can get really pretty intimate with you, and you're the kind of guy that, you know, is going to keep looking ahead for me.
I think that is the case. I think any business that you're in, if you truly care about your clients, over time they become your friends. You know, frankly, that's what makes all of this worth doing.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you look, if you, you know, whatever age I am now, 52, 53,
yeah.
52.
Yeah.
But you start to think about, okay, you know, what's it all about in the end?
Yeah.
And, you know, in the end, it's not, you know, it's not the paychecks you got along the way. It's, you know, did you take care of your family and did you help others out?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, particularly with our clients, as they become friends, you get more and more satisfaction from knowing that you've helped them accomplish something.
Right. You get more and more satisfaction personally from what?
From knowing that you've helped them, you know, solve a problem. I think, you know, young lawyers and perhaps other service professionals, you know, initially they're very attracted to the, you know, the interesting, complex problems that are in their field. But I think, you know, as you go through, you know, a few decades of that, what you get more and more interest in how is what you're doing impacting others.
Wow. What's the website address for this organization known as Whiteford, Taylor & Preston?
WTPlaw.com.
We've been speaking with Marty Fletcher, who's the managing partner of Whiteford, Taylor & Preston here on Executive Leaders Radio. What's the website address one more time?
WTPlaw.com.
Excellent. This is Herb Cohen. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders, executiveleadersradio.com. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. Mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions Now. Time is running out.
Call 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn, with my co-host, Les Small and Vistage, John Chuart, Graybeard Coaching, Will Barrington, Harmony Partners, Jessica Kreitzer, Cressa, Karen Addis, Van Epperin, Herb Thomas, Whiteford Taylor, Preston, and Colleen Gillis Cooley. I'd like to introduce Michael Sanders, President and CEO of Interactive Government Holdings. Michael, what is Interactive Government Holdings? What do you guys do?
We're a government contracting firm. Mm-hmm. We do program management, grant management, and administrative support for the federal government.
How large or how small is this organization?
Currently, we have about 150 employees in every state, territory, and the District of Columbia, and mm-hmm. we're going to see about $20 million in revenue this year.
How'd you get a job with this company?
Knowing me is a good start.
Well, how'd you get a job with the company?
I went on IRS.gov and got a tax ID number.
All right, so you started the business.
Yes, sir.
And where are you from originally?
I was born in Oregon, but I've moved all around the country as I was growing up.
How many different schools did you go to prior to graduating high school?
Seven, I think.
Seven different schools. And didn't you tell me that when you were a kid, something happened when you were about 10 years old?
My parents got divorced.
Yeah. What kind of, what do you think the effect of that was on you?
At the time I was, I think it instilled in me a will to keep going.
What do you mean a will to keep going? What are you talking about?
I think that it was a time when, you know, I was with my mother a lot and she was very hurt. So, it was up to me to sort of keep her in, a good frame of mind.
The theme that kept coming up as we talked in the green room was this sense of responsibility, the sense of being a ringleader of sorts. You spoke of five cousins. Can you talk a little bit about what it was like to be one of those cousins, what your role was leading them?
Yeah, I always used them. They were my workforce. They were my fighting guys. I mean, whenever we were together, everybody had a job, whether they were 2 or 10, whether we were going to build a fort or catch snakes or, you know, try to earn money to buy pizza, whatever it was, we always...
How did this play out? How do you think this influenced your company now and you founding your own company?
I think that I've always been a taskmaster. I'm a person that likes to delegate. I get things done through people.
Do you think that there's somebody in your family that maybe influenced that led you to embody those traits?
I mean, both my grandfather and my father, they're both leaders. They're both in the military. At a very young age, I was able to see my grandfather commanding hundreds of Marines at MCRD San Diego.
And what kind of effect did that have on you?
I never wanted to be one of the guys marching. I always wanted to be one of the guys calling the cadence. So I didn't realize that, you know, you had to start by marching and work your way up. Immediately, I didn't understand that. But as life tends to hand out lessons, I learned as I grew.
But being a drill instructor, you're pretty much a taskmaster and barking out orders, yet you are CEO of a government contracting company. It's all built on relationships.
Right.
Tell us about that.
It's something that I've had to practice, being less reactive, being more agreeable, thinking a lot more, speaking a lot less, and that's something that I've worked on intentionally over the last year.
You started the company in 2006.
Yes.
At a very young age for starting a company that's grown so strongly, so successfully over the past 10 years. You said earlier it was up to you to keep it going.
Right.
What was it like up until that point in 2006? What were you looking for?
I had been partners with several different people in several businesses that had tried to get off the ground. Some people I found to be immoral, or I had business partners that would, want to go to Vegas and not care about payroll, things of that nature. I mean, you run into people, as you go throughout business, and sometimes not every person is a person that's trustworthy or that wants to do the same right things as you. So lessons learned.
Michael, yeah. Is your grandfather still around?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. How does he feel about you? Has he been to your office?
No, I haven't seen him in the last few years.
Let's assume that your grandfather, you walked him into your office. How do you think he'd feel?
Probably pretty good.
Why?
They're nice offices. We have...
Nah, come on. You know where I'm going. How do you think he'd
feel? I think he'd be... I mean, everybody that's been to our office is extremely proud. We've moved from a one-person, 200-square-foot office, and we're about 5,000 square feet
now. So how do you think
now.
Your grandfather would feel?
I'm sure he'd be very proud.
Why?
What have you done? The work that we do, we help veterans, we help guard, we help reservists, people when they're deployed, pre-deployment, during deployment, post-deployment. That's great work. We do a lot of things for veterans. We've been a part of a lot of veterans programs with Veterans Affairs. So, we're doing things that I believe are very helpful to our country and to our, to our national security.
How about Dad? You haven't talked about Dad. Where's Dad fit into this equation?
He's great. I talk to him every day. He still owns a business. He has Rose Hearing in Orange County.
What'd you get from Dad that you bring into work every day?
Oh, I mean, he's the entrepreneur. I mean, he's never had a bad day. Things don't bother him. I mean, all that is stuff that I aspired to in my 20s, but I was just too hot-headed. So now that I'm running in on the end of my 30s, I'm maybe it's just less testosterone. I'm getting a little more patience. So, but he's the guy. I mean, I was rolling around with him when I was, 8, 9, probably even younger than that, selling hearing aids, selling batteries, and it was, early 80s, so sometimes you had to sell batteries, have gas money to get home. So
yeah, where does the sense of right and wrong come from?
I think I've just seen in my life the things that I've witnessed is that if you're trying to do right things will happen.
Not about making money?
No, I mean, I think that's just a byproduct of doing the right thing.
Speaking of doing the right thing, you spoke about five cousins, grandmother, grandfather, mom, dad, only child. As you look around your family, whose approval means the most to you? Whose approval would most mean you've made it, Michael?
My wife.
Yeah?
Yeah, my wife and children. I just love them to death. They're just the best thing ever. And they're, the reasons why I work hard now. So,
what kind of lessons you pulled from that?
I always had a lot of respect and admiration for my grandfather, but one thing that I had a hard time reconciling as I was growing up was his inability to change his principles when the data no longer supported it. He just is 100%, if I believe it now, that's how I'm going to believe till I die. And, I realized that you just couldn't be that way in this world. Like Austin said, we just change too much. The world changes too much. It changes every day. So I think that you have to be flexible, but also, rigid in what you believe in order
Jessica
to keep moving
Karen.
Forward.
Yeah.
So you talked a lot about how success isn't necessarily tied, it isn't monetary to you. So talk a little bit about what success means to you and what that means to maybe your culture and the organization.
One of the things over the last year that has really meant a lot to me is the ability to spend time with my family. It's the things that come from success, not necessarily monetary, but the freedom that you're able to have when, maybe you're not living paycheck to paycheck or, and within the culture, it feels good that, we sort of, our company grew and we didn't ever buy anything until we needed it. So our overhead was something that we were able to grow into, and that enables you to pay people better, have better benefits, do better matching on 401k and you know, just one little thing. You know, if you're matching 4% over 3% on somebody, that makes a big difference. And, you know, if you pay 90% of somebody's health care versus, you know, 50%, it makes a difference to people, especially now when so many things are unsure.
Michael, what's the website address for Interactive Government Holdings?
It's interactivegov.com.
Interactivegov.com. We speak with Michael Sanders, President and CEO of Interactive Government Holdings, here on Executive Leaders Radio with my co-hosts Les Mullen-Bistage, John Schwartz, Graybeard Coaching, Will Barrington, Harmony Partners, Jessica Kreitzer-Kressa, Karen Addis, Van Epperin, Herb Thomas, Wifer Taylor Preston, and Colleen Gillis-Cooley. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com. We will be back in a moment right after this business spotlight.
U2 America TV, featuring original live programs created with you in mind. Engage with shows through social media and the U2 America app. America Trends with Dr. Gina covers the trending topics of the day and allows viewers to interact with the show. Sully's Biz Brew is business with a barroom slant, delivered with a twist. Visit U2America.com to find a channel near you. U2 America, red, white, and you.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Allergy sufferers, my name's Nigel, and as a well-educated owl, I know the difference between what's wise and unwise. Texting after three glasses of Merlot? Unwise. Using new Zizol for 24-hour relief of your allergy symptoms? Quite wise. Because Zizol is just as effective at hour 24 as it is at hour 1, relieving your symptoms for a better night's sleep and a more productive day. So for continuous 24-hour allergy relief, don't be unwise. Be wise all. Take new Zizol. Use as directed.
Is getting a degree on your bucket list, but you've got a life, a job, family, stuff you can't put on hold to go back to school? Grantham University gets it. For over 65 years, Grantham's delivered affordable, relevant college and advanced degree programs to the men and women of our military. Let that sink in a moment. If they can deliver a quality education to a service member in a tent in Afghanistan, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. Grantham is accredited and 100% online, so they're built to be flexible to make sure you can fit an education into your already busy life. Call Grantham today to find out how easy it is to get started on your education and check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now, 800-910-0850. That's 800-910-0850. Grantham University. Flexible. Affordable. Relevant. Call 800-910-0850.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-303-3398. 800-303-3398. That's 800-303-3398. Call now. 800-303-3398.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Kathy Seibert, who's president and CEO of A-SPAN. Kathy, what is A-SPAN? What are you guys doing?
A-SPAN is a nonprofit who works with homeless individuals and veterans to move them from the streets to housing and stability.
How many folks do you help on an annual basis?
1,000.
About 1,000 people. Where are you from originally?
I'm not really from any one particular place. I feel like Washington, D.C. area is my home.
How many different schools did you go to prior to graduating high school?
18.
We've done 8,000 interviews here on Executive Leaders Radio. I probably have done 3,000. I've never heard that number before. Why did you move to 18 schools?
Well, my father was in the military when I was a young child, and so we moved a lot.
Wow. So, considering that 18 schools is so exceptional, do you think that's any reason that you may be sinking your heart into homelessness?
I think that may have something to do with it.
Keep going. What else? What else has to do with it? Why have you been doing this? You mentioned earlier you've been doing this for 9 years now, and you originally were in corporate America making a lot of money, and you moved to this. Why are you doing this nowadays? What's turning you on about this gig?
What I really love about this job is that every day I get to make a difference in someone's life.
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about the fact that there are so many issues that that people encounter when they're homeless.
Yeah.
And you can really change their lives by giving them services, treating them with dignity and respect, and also the biggest thing is moving them from homelessness to a home.
Didn't you mention earlier also that mom and dad had another issue going on?
Yeah. So the other reason why we moved a lot is because both my parents were alcoholics.
So both of your parents were alcoholics. What? How'd that affect you? What was the? That must have been pretty difficult as a kid. And how'd that affect you then? And how's that benefiting you nowadays?
So the way I feel about that is it. It really did affect me in that I had to be very independent as a child, and I always had to look out for myself and take care of myself. A benefit for me is I'm really comfortable meeting new people and sort of scoping out situations to figure out how I'm going to survive in that particular environment.
Mr. Herb Thomas, what's going on in your mind? What are you thinking?
Well, 18 changes of school within, 18 years is kind of hard to comprehend. I'm trying to think how a kid manages that, and here you are today, you know, with longevity at an organization. Did it happen over time, or was there a single point in time when you moved from a world that must have felt like duck and cover to I need to live in a healthier place?
Yes, that's a really good question. So I have one brother who's 16 years older than I am. And at age 27, he and his wife took me in and became my legal guardian when I was 11.
Wow. So how'd that shift you? What happened there?
So what that did was, what was really nice is it was a stable environment. And so everything worked on time. Meals were on time.
Gotcha.
Laundry was done. Gotcha. You know, basic things.
Was that easy or hard for you to adapt to?
Oh, it was such a relief.
Yeah,
it's such a relief because I got to be a kid again. I didn't have to worry about all those things myself.
Wow. Joseph, what do you got?
So, Kathy, you had mentioned, you know, how good it feels to help homeless people. You've been at your organization for 8.5, 9 years, and you could have at any time moved on to another nonprofit, continued to build your career. What is it, speaking more personally, about working with this population and these services in particular that's helped you learn more about yourself?
Well, I think that one of the things is that, you know, each person who's homeless has a completely different story. Sometimes it's mental illness. There are a lot of people who've had really big careers, and they have a psychological break later in life, and they become homeless. Or some people have substance abuse, which I'm really familiar with, and because of my upbringing, so I understand that situation. But the thing that is so nice about what I get to do is that I really get to make a difference.
Wow. It's yeah. meaningful, isn't it? Lucia, what do you got?
So you help roughly 1,000 people a year. First of all, thank you. In helping them, how are you helping yourself?
Well, I think the way that I'm helping myself is it gives me a real sense of purpose, and I feel like I'm using my skills in a very productive way. And what's really nice is what I always say to my staff, because I have an amazing staff, is that, you know, their job is to really take care of our clients, and my job is to really take care of them, to make sure that they
can
do their job.
But why go back to this? Going back to age 8 to 14, you were in this position. Why go back to being in a similar environment?
Because it's clear to me how to get things done to change someone's situation.
Well, you really do want to make a difference. Herbert, what else are you thinking there?
Does that, Kathy, does that tie into a different kind of definition of independence? You talked about having to kind of define yourself as an independent child, an independent person in this young, very dysfunctional house. You're very independent now, but it feels very different.
Right. I think that one of the things that really makes a difference is it made a significant difference when I got to go live with my brother and my sister-in-law.
Wow.
Because it just completely changed the trajectory of my life. The other thing is that because I came from a dysfunctional marriage, I say this to young people all the time, I really feel that the most important decision you make in your life is who you choose as your partner in marriage. And so I was very thoughtful about my choice, and I married absolutely the right guy.
Wow. Joseph, what else you got? What else you think of?
So, Kathy, you've clearly learned a lot from your career and your upbringing. What do you see in the future as far as, you know, the work that you're doing now, and how is that going to continue to help you, you know, feel at peace with yourself or feel centered?
I think that I already feel centered. I mean, this is my second career because I started out in corporate America. I have an MBA in international finance. I've lived all over the world and worked all over the world. And this has really given me an opportunity to take all my skills and to give back. So I get asked by a lot of people who are sort of considering what they want to do next.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel pretty centered. Mm-hmm. I got to do what I wanted to do next.
Liz?
It's interesting. You've lived and worked all over the world. You moved as a child 18 different times. There's a certain parallel there.
But I love to travel, Les. But
that too. Mm-hmm. But there's something that comes from, whether it's adaptability or resilience, I don't know. There's some word out there that's playing in my head around what it is that is something about you that enables you to be adaptable and not be fearful of these situations.
Yeah. I think because as a young child, because I had to go into so many new situations, that I just became comfortable with it. And And I think it's exactly what Marty was talking about previously, which is I have the ability to kind of look at the particular environment or situation and sort of figure out my path.
So you can size these mm-hmm. situations up pretty quick and decide mm-hmm. what's the path for you there.
So yes. It says here that you're the president and CEO. You're the head of this organization, this nonprofit organization. So that gives you the chance to sit in your office and, you know, in a pretty office. It's air conditioned and heated. It's like really, you don't have to go deal with the people, do you?
No, I absolutely do have to deal with people. And actually, it's only been in the last year and a half since we moved locations that I have a pretty office, and I'm not looking at a dumpster, you know.
Do you enjoy being with the people?
I really do. I really, really do. I'm not a clinician, so I'm really conscious of that, but I find that I can really listen and really listen to all the different situations.
How important is your intuition in terms of what you do for a living?
It's very important.
What do you mean? I thought business and running a nonprofit was all blood and guts and money and stuff like that.
I think, and I would assume, because you've interviewed so many present CEOs, is that most people who become leaders of organizations have to have a pretty good intuition and a pretty good reading of people to mm-hmm. be successful.
Mm-hmm. And you really enjoy what you do for a living. You find a lot of personal meaning in it.
Yeah, I love what I do, and I feel really blessed that I get to do this.
You feel really blessed you get to do that. What's the name of the what's the website address of the organization?
It is aspan.org.
We've been speaking to Kathy Seibert, President and CEO of Aspan, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment, right after this break. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, are truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com to hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-616-2130. That's 800-616-2130. 800-616-2130.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, and we'd like to introduce James Quigley, who's the CEO and co-founder of Canvas. James, what is Canvas? What are you guys doing?
Canvas is a platform that allows organizations to replace manual analog processes, paper forms, and put those processes onto your phone.
Interesting. So you make life easier for a lot of people because as opposed to having to do it over and over and over again, you just make it automated.
That's right. That would be a long tag phrase, but yes, that's effectively what we do.
How large or how small is this organization?
We're a little less than 80 people in four countries.
How old is this? How old is this company?
We had formed at the end of 2008.
And you're a co-founder of the company. You're the founder?
Correct. I'm the founder.
Where are you from originally?
Originally from a upstate New York.
A larger, a big city or
small town.
And how many brothers and sisters you got?
I have a brother and a sister.
So you're the middle.
I am the middle.
Uh-huh. How young were you when you started making money?
I'm probably in my own memory, it's younger than it really was, but I was pretty darn young.
How old?
9, 8.
What were you doing?
I was borrowing the one of our tractors and convincing my neighbors I could do a better job than their own sons cutting their lawn.
So you were you grew up on a small farm, if I remember correctly.
Correct.
And you were mowing lawns. And what was the next step in your entrepreneurial career after mowing the lawns?
Well, I would take that and just make it sort of seasonal. Mm-hmm. So I would remove snow for people and mostly a lot of manual labor at first.
And what effect did you have on the other kids in the area?
I was usually the leader of the bunch, pulling together. If I couldn't do a job on my own, I would go get some help, get some friends.
What's the parallel between that and what you're doing nowadays?
Ooh, that's a good question. From the very founding of the company, I was bringing together friends that I knew, colleagues, people I'd worked with to form this company.
So what'd you do with that money? With some of that money, and how young were you doing stuff with that money?
Right. So I am definitely a non-closeted nerd. So I was was openly the kid who was experimenting and buying computer parts, putting together my own computers.
How young were you when you were doing that?
Oh, I was somewhere between 10 and 12.
Did that have any effect on your starting this business?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Kevin, what question do you got?
When did you turn that into that passion for computers and building things into a business that you were realized could be long-term?
Yeah. So I've worked at a number of startups over the last 20 years, but never had the big idea to do it myself. So Canvas was certainly the first time where I took the seat in the big chair. But I've been doing miniature projects in and around with technology solving problems. Mm-hmm. That's probably the summary of that.
You said your mom earlier, you said your mom is 80 and she's still working. What effect did she have on you?
Yeah, and I'll be very careful what I say because she will listen to this. She's a mm-hmm. What effect? She hard worker. Both my parents grew up in a urban setting, funny enough, even though we lived in the country. And with both family members being very blue collar and remembering the Depression, so they worked. Everyone worked.
You think you'll still be working at 80?
I probably.
Yeah,
that's the
I
reality.
Think so.
That's
how reality. Do you know they grew up with the Depression mentality? What are you talking about?
saving things, the constant reminders of what it was like to grow up in that time period was probably an easy way of reinforcing it constantly.
So, but you know, James, we had a conversation earlier where you said it went past that, and it's really revealing in terms of what you do, this mm-hmm. taking of disparate things and putting them together and making it work for
right.
people.
Yeah, I sort of use the metaphor, the phrase people say you're an entrepreneur, you've been in a number of technology startups, and really I like solving problems.
So James,
pulling together parts and pieces.
We were just talking about that Depression mentality. You grew up on a small farm, and you said that you fixed everything. You also told us a story about your mom and a vehicle.
Oh, yeah. So, there was nothing, if we were going to build something or do something, mm-hmm. My dad would never hire someone, unless he got some friends to come over and help him in something. So, yeah, my mom wanted a new car, and I think she was very surprised my father said, okay, we'll get you a car. Like, what? A car? A new car. And what he didn't tell her was it was going to be new after he built it from pieces, and it was a wrecked MG Midget that had been a race car, funny mm-hmm. enough, and we brought it home in boxes. And I think that was the first time my mom figured out that it was
so
that was the situation.
So what's that have
car
to do too? With you starting this business, Canvas? Your mom getting an MG Midget in pieces?
Yeah, I think it's building things. Actually, it's a great sort of parallel to our company, which is it's a tool for building things. Mm-hmm. And you don't need help in doing that. Mm-hmm. You can do it yourself.
You think that, and you're also, it sounds to me like you're pretty resourceful, you know. It sounds like Dad's ability to fix things and make things, mm-hmm. you know, he's a pretty resourceful guy. Do you got any of that stuff in you?
My inner ego is fighting with what I should say now, but no, sure, I think so. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You understand how to, isn't that what your business really does, though? It helps people. You're helping your clients do stuff better and cheaper than they could do for themselves.
That's right.
You bring a resourcefulness to your clients.
That's right.
So, and when your clients come onto this platform, Canvas, do you lose them right away?
Do we lose them?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, do you keep your clients happy?
Oh, yeah. No, they stay with us for a long time. We don't lose many customers. Yeah. Most of our customers, it's either doing this the way that it's been done for literally hundreds of years, mm-hmm. or this is the first time they're going to make a transition.
So you're really making a big difference in their business lives, aren't you? Making their lives easier.
I like to think we do. Sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, how young were you when you started solving other people's problems?
I guess it was someone saying, well, you come mow... If you mow my lawn, I'll pay you less than I pay my son. Mm-hmm. I was probably doing it pretty early on. And around our house, too. If anything needed to be done, we did it ourselves. Mm-hmm. And not small projects. My father wanted to build an addition to the house. We did it ourselves. We built a car.
Wow.
Everything was done by
ourselves. What's the website address of this organization?
It is
Canvas.
GoCanvas.com.
GoCanvas.com. We've been speaking with James Quigley, CEO and co-founder of Canvas, here on Executive Leaders Radio. John, will you please give us a rundown of who we've had the opportunity of hanging out with today?
Our guests today were Samuel Kelly, Executive Director of Bridges to Independence. Then we talked to Eva Newman, CEO and President of ENC Strategy. Our third guest was Patrick Keenan, President of Phoenix International Holdings Incorporated. And we just talked to James Quigley, CEO and co-founder of Canvas.
Excellent. I'd like to thank my co-host, Mr. John Schuhart, Graybeard Coaching, Mr. Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Mark Troutman, George Mason University, Mark Freeman, Expense to Profit, and Kevin Albrigo, who is Old Dominion National Bank, for giving me a hand structuring the questions. Hope it providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com. Learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for joining us today. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.